Hello and welcome back. And today I'm delighted to be talking to Shitra Roshani. Well, hello, and I'm really excited to have another Make It Happen interview. And this woman has really made it happen in business and in life. So, Shitra Roshani, good afternoon.
Hi.
Could you introduce yourself for the ladies who haven't met you yet, please?
Absolutely, of course. Thank you so much for having me. First of all, I really appreciate the opportunity. So I am Chitra Roshlani. I'm a wellness coach, a speaker, and a brand new author. And I'm also a medium and an intuitive healer. And I'm on a mission to help my clients peel, feel, and heal the layers of their old conditioning so they can find their true purpose and passion.
Love the peel part of it because we are all like onions, aren't we? That you unravel bits and pieces of what you do. So before we delve into what you do, do tell me about your move to America because I'd forgotten that you actually used to live in Dubai and I used to work and live in Dubai. So tell us about your move to America. Was that something that had been planned for a long time or what happened?
Yeah, great question. So, I'm originally from India. I was born in India, and then I moved to Dubai with my family when I was about 2 years old. So I've kind of been there all my life. I had done my education there. And in those days, in my culture, something called arranged marriage was very common. And so I had myself a good old arranged marriage. And thankfully, it worked out for me. My husband is an amazing man and very supportive, and we worked at it. But that was kind of the reason that I ended up moving from Dubai to the US because my husband was here. And I met him in India. We got married there, and then he went back to the US and I came and followed him. So that's how I ended up here.
Amazing story. I didn't realize that you had been married as an arranged marriage. And it is amazing how the marriages do work out, isn't it? My husband's always saying he wished he'd chosen his sister's husbands, but that's another question.
Yeah, I mean, now that I look back on it, there's a whole science to it, I feel like, because our parents really do a lot of research in trying to find someone appropriate because they want you to be happy, right? It's not like they're just trying to force you with somebody. So they do the research, they find someone with the same kind of value system, they find someone with the same kind of, economic background and all of that, so that you will go and be able to adjust in that situation. Would I do it again? Probably never. But and would I do it to my kids? No. But I think there was a science to it. And so, like any marriage, it's a gamble, right? You take a chance, you make it work, you work hard, and hopefully you're able to, see what you need to in each other.
Did you actually have a marriage company that paired you up, or your
No,
parents
no. The
themselves?
parental network is bigger than any company. I don't think my parents needed that. Now they do because, now it's harder to match people. Then we would speak up, so it was easier.
I used to work with a lot of Indians in Dubai,
Yeah.
and the networks were incredible. They really, who they didn't know wasn't worth knowing, basically. So, huge country, but very well networked. So you've had a bit of a plot twist with your business. Tell us more about it.
Yeah, so as I mentioned earlier, I've been a wellness coach for many years now, and I did the whole nutrition and fitness coaching, and I loved it. I still love coaching people on that. But I've also been a medium and an intuitive healer for about 24 years. And this is something that I actually got from my husband's family. I wasn't looking for it. It happened and it came to me. And I embraced it, and people around me, like that were really close to me, or people who needed it, I mentioned it. But I didn't really feel too comfortable because I was always like this people pleaser, trying to fit in and blend in. So I didn't tell like majority of the people, and some of my close friends also didn't really know, this little secret about me. But as I was kind of going on my own journey to finding who I was and embracing that more and more, peeling and feeling and healing my own layers, I came across people who were like, "This is such a great gift that you have. Why aren't you sharing it with the world?" And so as I got more and more comfortable with myself, I began to share that. And 2 years ago, I did like a little Facebook post. I said, maybe this is a comfortable, easy way to start, and I'll just put it out there and hopefully no one will notice. And little did I know that it would be a life-changing experience, because 250 comments later, I had to start doing workshops and seminars on what it means to be a medium. What is it like to tap into your intuition? How do you manifest things? What do we need to know about our mindset? And so it kind of has taken a little bit of a trajectory, where now I'm kind of almost like speaking about this every other day and sharing what I know about the other side and all the gifts that the universe has to give us and all that fun stuff.
Amazing. And you've written a book as well in the meantime, The Warrior Mindset. So if we read your book, what would be the three main takeaways that we would learn in its pages?
Sure, yeah. So this book was really so divinely guided that I almost feel like I can't even take credit for it. But I did help to channel it, so I will give myself that credit. And I truly believe that if we are to realize our deepest desires and our dreams, we have to begin at the mindset, because I feel like 99% of our problems and solutions come from our mindset. I call it the itty bitty shitty committee inside these 6 inches that we have between our ears. And fortunately or unfortunately, we live in there, and our perception of our life comes from there. So I guess if you had to look at like three things that you would get out of the book, to really simplify, one is that, we need to strengthen our minds and we need to have the courage to go within. And so I talk a little bit in the beginning about, having that understanding of why we need to go into the mindset, because we all know that mindset is important, right? But nobody is really talking about the steps on how to go there. So the second thing, if I had to pick three, the second thing would be I try to break it down. I try to break it down. I have my 3A system, and I take all the seven mindset shifts that I talk about in the book through that 3A system with stories, with examples, so that you can see yourself in those stories and examples and apply that to your life. Because my passion is really not just like going out and talking about this stuff. I want you to experience the shift. And so the quickest way to experience the shift is to break it down, put your own examples or see yourself in those examples, and then make the change. So that would be number two. And the last thing, really, I think it's a short book. You can read it in a weekend, or you can, go back to it every time you feel trapped in one of the mindsets, like fear, doubt, worry, insecurity. If you're having that moment, you're like, oh, I'm so afraid. Like, why am I living in this fear? Oh, let me go back to the book, read the chapter on fear, and be done. So, yeah, try to make it simple.
How many mindsets have you covered in the book?
I have seven mindsets. So there's so I have each one. So it's an interesting story, because I had done a photo shoot for a brand. I used to be a photographer before my fitness world. And so back then I had done a photo booth for a nonprofit that was trying to raise funds for women's empowerment. And their target audience was women who had been through domestic violence. And so I had made these cards. Each one said, I am a believer, not a doubter. There were like seven different ones. I'm a victor, not a victim. So little did I know that like 15 years later, that would become a chapter. Each one of them would become a chapter in my book. There are seven mindsets that I talk about in the book, and they are blessed to stress, blessed, not stressed, abundance, not scarcity, believer, not doubter, fearless, not fearful, victim, not victor, victor, not victim, secure, not insecure, and warrior, not warrior. So
Amazing. I love the warrior, not warrior.
yeah, it's a good reminder, right? Yeah.
So, did you have any business roadblocks? And if you did, how did you overcome them?
Oh my God, so many, right? As a business owner, there's always roadblocks and there's always things to learn. I think that as a, for me, I've had roadblocks ever since I started the idea of running a business. I don't have a lot of role models in my family who have been business owners. Everybody's kind of been in jobs and corporate. And so, the first step was like, can I really run a business? right? Am I really capable of this? Like, what do I know about running? I didn't go to business school. So, I think one of my strategies to overcome roadblocks has always been to look at people who have kind of overcome what I'm looking to overcome. So, I started with joining networking groups like BIG, that where I met you, or other organizations, or like the local chamber, where I would meet people who are running their businesses successfully. And I was like, how do you do this? And I feel like as women, we have this amazing ability to help each other grow and evolve, and we're always willing to give back. So I'm grateful to all the people before me that have come and shown me the way, and I get to pay it forward to people who are starting out now. So that's really been my strategy. Find somebody who's doing it and ask them how.
Yeah. And do you have a specific business role model that you really look up to and think, wow, he or she's really made a difference?
Yeah, I think again, there's so many, right? I would hate to just pick one, but the people that come to mind maybe are, Sarah Blakely, the founder of Spanx. How she, I remember a story about her being, when she first put her product in, I think it was Nordstrom, the store. She would actually, they told her if they sell a certain amount, they would continue to carry it in the other stores. So she literally sent out like $10 coupons to all her friends and family all over the country. And she would go to the stores and wherever she could, and she would stand there and tell people, just try this on, the Spanx, before you try the dress. Put this on underneath and see how you feel. Like, she hustled like crazy, right? And then Gabby Bernstein, Marie Forleo, Jamie Kern Lima, there's so many others. And I feel like each of them, in their own way, have taught us so many lessons.
There's some amazing women out there. Do you think that coming up in an Indian culture has made a difference to your business and your outlook on life?
It's funny, I think about that a lot. And I think that what I see all my Western friends searching for from the Indian culture is something that I have been raised with, that whole mindset of spirituality and being grounded in the knowing of like detachment, right? The idea of detachment is something that we've heard since we were kids. And I find that my Western friends struggle with that, and they're, taking trips to India and going to ashrams to figure it out. And I'm like, I didn't realize how amazing it was that I had it in me already. And when I see them struggling with the things that I have kind of seen as a child and heard as a child, and they've been ingrained inside of me, I'm like, oh, wow, like this is something that I always had and I didn't really value or think about. So I think the spiritual kind of like grounding is something that has always kept me humble and kept me going. And the other aspect of the Indian culture is the idea of learning, right? Learning, because when we had to fight the British, it was, for us, it was like, I'm all about, education is the only thing that's going to save you. And so that has again become such an ingrained part of our culture. And I think my love for learning and growing, also, I would have to credit some of that to my culture.
No, amazing insight you've got there. And we're all striving to find what you've found naturally because you grew up with it. That was part of who you were and what you were, taught to be and your lessons you had as you were growing up. So amazing. Is there any other advice you would give for women who are hiding and are unable to share something which is uniquely who they are?
Yeah, so I talk about this a lot because, as I talk about peeling and feeling and healing, you're going to, as you do that, uncover what it is that you want to do and what your passion is and what your purpose is, and find the courage to do it. So, people who are hiding are usually hiding for two reasons. One is they don't want anyone to find out what they're dealing with because they feel like they will be judged adversely. And the other is they are just so afraid to speak up and share because they think that, they would be outed almost, like, and then they would kind of have to deal with the repercussions of everyone knowing their problem. It kind of goes back to this fear and insecurity that I talk about in the book as well. And so I would say to them, number one, your situation is not unique. We think that our problems are so unique and so different that if we tell people, they'd be like, oh my God, you're dealing with that. But chances are, I mean, there may be some exceptions, but for the most part, the human suffering is very common. Like, if I were to talk to you about things you've been through, things that I've been through, we can definitely find a common thread. Or I know somebody who's been through what you're going through, right? So it is not unique. Your situation is not unique. Number two is, the thought or the idea that what would you open up space for if you weren't so busy, caught up in hiding who you are on the inside? Because, I talk about that witch and the warrior in the book, right? We have an inner evil witch who's trying to keep us down and an inner warrior that's trying to lift us up. But that tussle that's going on constantly in our minds, if that wasn't there, like if it was gone, if there was space, what would you allow to come in? Because they say you attract what you think, you bring about what you think about. So if we're constantly thinking about hiding our problems, we're not open to solutions that even want to come in. So that's number two. And the last thing I would say is, imagine helping and rescuing someone else who's suffering from the same thing that you're suffering. How great would it feel to be able to give back and pay it forward? Because that's really, I think, as humans, what we were designed to do. We were supposed to evolve, and we were supposed to, go through our journey, evolve, and then help other people. And that's really what it comes down to, I think.
No, I'm very much of the mindset that we were sent here to grow and learn. And that's why we're here. So we need to be doing those things too. What next for Chitra? Are you going to be writing any more books? What are you planning?
Definitely more books. I have been told that, through my guides and through my mentors that this first book was just kind of a step in the door, and the next one's going to be much bigger. So I'm already terrified, but I'm open to receiving and channeling what comes through next, to see, how I can help people, because that's really what I want to do.
Yeah, and you've got a new course as well, haven't you? That you've just
I
launched.
have a new course. Yes, I actually have a new membership. Thank you for reminding me. I have a new mem monthly membership that's starting because, one of the things that was happening, so I do one-on-one readings for people where I will tap into your energy and, get an understanding of where you are, and, your guides might come through and give you some validation. They might give you some guidance. And so as I was doing that, I had some people who were like, I wish I had this like on a regular basis, like not just a one-off session. Would you do something like in a smaller kind of group setting? And so when a few, people asked me that over and over, I started to think about it, and I created a monthly membership. It's called the Warrior Mindset Collective. And I have a virtual option as well as an in-person option. So we would meet twice a month for about 75 minutes, and I would have some live channeling aspect to that, but also we would have a whole discussion around a particular theme. And the idea is to have a place to come regularly where you would actually feel safe enough to peel and feel and heal, and find your true strengths and your powers. So yeah, that information is in my on my website as well, the
Okay, so
membership.
we'll put a link to that after the after this session. We'll put it in the show notes so that they can find you. Have you read a specific book that made a difference to your life? And if so, why?
I think the one book that comes to mind is A New Earth by Eckhart Tolle. And I had read it when Oprah was doing a whole segment with him. She was interviewing him for every chapter, and they went into depth. And it's not an easy read, so it kind of helped that she was doing that at the time. But I think just the idea of being an observer of your thoughts and understanding why, our mind works the way it does, or why our thoughts have such an impact on us, and what kind of thoughts are here to remind us of our suffering, and what kind of thoughts are here to remind us of our, vulnerability and the ability to be free of all of that. So that was a big game changer for me at the moment. So yeah, really
Okay.
changed the way I looked at things.
And my next question, because these ones are regular questions that I ask women, what is your superpower? I think we probably know what you're going to say, but maybe you're not. So, power.
I know, right? It's always interesting, right? People see themselves as something, and then other people see me as something else. I think what I realize is my superpower is seeing patterns where nobody else can. The other thing that I would say is my ability to get real. I'm not afraid of being real and sharing my vulnerability with people, and I think that makes me a little more relatable, and it appeals to people. I'm done hiding.
Is there something you'll achieve before the end of this year?
I'm hoping to deliver a keynote speech by the end of 2024, so that's my big goal. We'll see. That's the goal.
Well, I heard you talk with the Believe, Inspire, Grow event that we have, and it was really amazing. So look forward to hearing how the keynote goes. What would be
Great.
your advice to the younger Shitra?
That's a good question, right? What would I say? Probably that you are here for a reason and you belong. Take up all the space you need.
Love that. So, how is the best way for ladies to connect with you after this?
My website, fitwarriorlife.com, is the best way to reach me. All my information's on there. All my social media handles are on there. You can connect. Most of my information's up there.
Wonderful. Well,
Same
thank
thing on LinkedIn.
you. Yeah.
On LinkedIn as well. It's Fit Warrior Life.
Okay, perfect. Well, thank you, Shitra, for joining me in the Make It Happen studio, and I look forward to seeing where you travel to in your business journey over the coming days, weeks, and months.
Hopefully to Spain, and I get to see you in real life. So thank you so much for this opportunity. I appreciate it.
I really hope you enjoyed this latest recording of the Make It Happen series, and I'd love you to subscribe to our podcast channel, or if you're watching this on our YouTube channel, just click the subscribe button. We'd love you to continue hearing and seeing more of our Make It Happen interviews. If you're not a member of Costa Women yet, but you're a woman who is living in Spain or a woman who is thinking about moving to Spain, do come and join us at costawomen.com. It's completely free to join. In the meantime, I look forward to sharing more Make It Happen interviews with you. Bye for now.